All right, welcome back, friends. Today we have a very special guest. His name is Micah Leverton, and I'd like to for you to get to know him and to hear his story and a little bit of his philosophy and theology towards life. So, without further ado, the subtitle for this talk, by the way, is Overcoming Obstacles. So, why did I become fascinated with Micah? My son, who's a good friend of Micah's, was relating to me one day that Michael was celebrating his I Am Alive Day. Mm-hmm. It's a day that something very tragic, and we'll let Micah explain that to us in his own way, that, you know, he really could not, a real possibility of him not being here, but God in his great goodness saw fit to do otherwise, and he celebrated it. And I thought, what a tremendous joy and exuberance towards the great gift of life. And so I kind of want to get to know him a little more and to let you, my dear friends and fellow companions, know a little more as well. Micah, maybe briefly tell us a little bit of your background or your family, your education.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel so honored to be here. Thank you so much, Karen, for giving me a chance to share. Yeah. And it's kind of wild. I feel so fortunate in so many ways when I think about my background, because I've gotten to move around quite a bit. I was born in Oregon and lived there for a year, and then we moved to Colorado and lived there for 8 years, and then we moved to Iowa and lived there for like 10 years, and that's where I did middle school and high school, and transitioned from being a homeschool kid to a Christian school kid to a public school kid, and got to get a taste of each of those different forms of education. Mm-hmm. And I just feel so thankful when I look back over everything, because I've got three older sisters and two amazing parents, and my entire life I've never once questioned whether or not I was loved, you know, by my family. And it was just such a blessing to me, I felt, to have that assurance to know, like, I'm cared for and loved no matter what I do. Mm-hmm. And my dad and I were always really close. I had decided to go to Florida after high school to go to a ministry school and study worship ministry. Mm-hmm. And 'cause I love to sing and play guitar. Mm-hmm. And so I did that, was there for a year, and most people go back for a second year, but I, for some reason, was just feeling that I wasn't supposed to. I don't know why, but it was kind of I just had this knowing in me of, like, I don't think I'm supposed to come back. And so I made the plan. I was going to settle in with my best friend in Des Moines, Iowa. We had picked out an apartment and everything. And the summer after my year in Florida, my mom had decided that she was going to move to Alaska to work at a resort as a bus driver. And my dad originally was going to go with her, but he owns a business in Colorado and was unable to get that much time off to go up there for like the whole summer. Mm-hmm. And so instead he thought, well, why don't we just make an adventure out of this? And maybe Micah and I could go and visit mom on motorcycles. And so he called me while I was still in Florida and presented this idea to me. And I thought, oh my gosh, of course, Dad, I'd love to do that. At first, I thought he was kind of just playing around, like it was just an idea, you know, because we had talked about doing all kinds of adventures that didn't necessarily come to fruition. Mm-hmm. But then just a week later, he sent me a picture of the first motorcycle that he bought. And I thought, oh my gosh, I guess we're really doing this. And so on July 1st of 2013, we left Iowa and began this adventure of a lifetime and started driving to Alaska. And we camped every single night. We had everything we needed on our two motorcycles. And we saw just so many wildly beautiful places, not only in America, but in Canada as well. and drove all the way up. We got on the Alaska Highway and we did our first couch surfing experience, where it's like this website called couchsurfing.com, where mm-hmm. people just, it's a lot like Airbnb, but more personable, I guess, because you just come in and stay with the actual host. They just open up their home to you. And so we did that in Dawson Creek, I think it was. And that was really cool. And it was just like every single day was a new exciting moment and exciting view, really, because of just how beautiful it was. And we made it to Alaska. I think it was like the 12th or the 14th. We had took about 2 weeks to get up there. And then we spent a week with Mom, went to Denali National Park. Everything was amazing. Had so much fun. And then we left Alaska on the 20th of July. And 2 days later, it was on July 22nd. We were driving on this highway called the Cassiar Highway. Really beautiful road in British Columbia, Canada, but pretty out in the middle of nowhere, not a lot of stuff. And Dad was ahead of me at this point, and he went around a corner, and he said he looked in his rearview mirror and saw that I wasn't behind him after he went around the corner. And so he asked on the helmet radio, like, "Hey, man, you coming?" And sometimes I would stop to take a picture or something, you know, but usually if I was going to stop, I'd tell him. And so he said he asked a second time and got a bad gut feeling, just that dad feeling, and decided to turn around. And I guess I was just laying on the side of the road in the ditch, like 20 or 30 feet from my motorcycle. And I have no recollection of what exactly happened. I may have actually fallen asleep on my motorcycle, because you could go like 80 miles per hour and just feel like you were floating. And I wouldn't think that I could fall asleep on a motorcycle, but I've fallen asleep at the wheel before. And so I wouldn't put it past me. And with my lack of memory, I guess it makes sense maybe that I fell asleep. But I woke up about a week later. Like, there's just a whole week of my life I don't remember. And I was in Vancouver and my mom was there. And she told me that I had wrecked my motorcycle and I broke my back. And so I woke up and I was super, I mean, they had me on tons of pain medicine and all kinds of stuff. So I was sort of cognitive and there, but not fully aware, I guess. And I was just in this hospital bed and not able to move, but not really aware of the fact that I was paralyzed. And so now I'm a paraplegic from my mid-chest down. It's a T5 level vertebrae. And so I can't feel or move anything from the middle of my chest all the way down. And I was 18 when that happened. It was just like 2 weeks before about my 19th birthday. In fact, on my 19th birthday, they put me in another jet and flew me to Denver, where I went to Craig Rehab Hospital, which is like a traumatic brain injury and spinal cord injury specific hospital. And I was there from August 6th until about October 10th. And that's where I did all my rehab and kind of learning this new normal of what life in a wheelchair was going to be like. And yeah, it was really, really wild. And I was kind of blown away by my lack of shock, I guess, because I didn't feel, there wasn't a moment like when I first found out I was paralyzed where I went like, "Oh, what? How could this be?" You know, I didn't have like a scared or depressed episode really until later on. The first time I cried after getting paralyzed was when I was on the phone with one of my sisters, and she was just encouraging me and talking to me and saying like, "Micah, there's so many people praying for you. And like, this really isn't going to stop you, you know?" And there had been like a Pray for Micah Facebook page that some friends of mine created in Florida. And it got like 2,000 people had liked it or whatever. And so there were just all these people praying for me and following my story and everything. And I felt this like supernatural provision in a way of just feeling so okay with everything. I felt like a peace about it, you know? And I also realized as I was in the hospital too, that as a kid, I remembered thinking like, you know, if something happened to me where I got cancer or I got put in a wheelchair or something, that wouldn't be so bad because I feel it would give me an opportunity to show that you don't have to let your circumstances dictate your joy. And I had that thought as a kid, just because of this upbringing I had, understanding the reality of Jesus and this realization of like, okay, if this story of Jesus is true, then we really don't have to worry about anything, you know?
Micah, I would like to stop right there and we're going to pick it right up.
Awesome.
To the next time, my friends. Fides. Gratio.